In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we're going to be talking about mindfulness. You may have heard that term before, and we're going to talk about what it is, why it works, and how it can help you. Again, probably something you've heard, and people think, well, what is that? What does mindfulness mean, even? We're going to let you know. And as usual, we're giving away my free hypnosis guide, as we do every episode. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What's going on, my friends? This is David Wright, and we are back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Woohoo!
With me is Matt Fox.
Hi, Dave.
Right across the table.
Hi, Dave Wright.
Yeah. I know I had to enunciate. It's only a two-syllable full name.
Matt Fox. Happy Friday, sir.
Yeah, you too, brother. Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
We're here in the South Podcast Detroit, Southfield Studios.
Yes, we are.
And yeah, we're doing a podcast.
Yep.
Friday evening, weekends here. Have
best,
a good time.
Best way to start the weekend.
Join a little sip. Sip of Jamie's whiskey. Cheers, brother.
Thank you, Mr. Flanagan.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Jamie, for...
He's playing poker tonight.
Is he? Was he like with the guys?
Yeah.
The guys?
With his frat boys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. U of M, Michigan, Dearborn, his frat brothers there. Mm. They're going to play some poker.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in years.
Rob them blind, Jamie.
I had a... years and years ago, place I worked, they used to do that get together, and I did it a couple of times, and I just lost too much money. I'm like, yeah, I'm not good at this.
I'm terrible at poker.
Because so. It wasn't like just straight poker. They had all these, they would make up rules as they go, like, you know.
Twos or aces.
Awesome. Yeah, just these crazy rules, and I'm like, I can't keep track of this, so
nah,
I'm done.
None of that.
Yeah, I don't want to give my money away.
Excellent.
So yeah, we're here, people. Thanks for checking in. Those of you on Facebook Live, you can say hello on camera. Those of you listening to audio, thank you for checking in. Let me tell you where you can find me. My website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. A lot of work going on the website this week. I have about 50 episodes loaded of the podcast because we're redoing that podcast page.
Awesome.
My book page is up.
Awesome.
And that's there too.
Empower Your Mind for Success.
Empower Your Mind for Success. Yes.
The Hypnotic Guide.
Yeah, there's and I'm again redoing my store page. So if there's something specific that you're looking for and you don't get the purchase option, mm-hmm. Hit me up on social media. I'll get it for you.
Awesome.
But that should be working soon. And you can find me on social media. Facebook and YouTube are both Motor City Hypnotist, and on Twitter and Instagram, which are both Motor City Hypno.
HYPNO.
Yep. And as usual, we give away a free hypnosis guide. Those of you might be listening for the first time, this is just a PDF guide, couple of pages that describes what hypnosis is, what it isn't, dispels some myths and misconceptions, and kind of really tells you why and how it works in a nutshell. You know, it's not a book, it's a two-page PDF. But
right.
Yeah. So yeah, you can grab that. That link will be in the show notes, so you can grab a hold of it.
Awesome.
And the most important thing is wherever you're listening, whether it be on Facebook Live, which is cool. If you're on Facebook Live, and I've not thrown this out there before, make sure you are, I'm assuming if you're getting the notification there, you're already on my Facebook page, have liked my Facebook page to get that notification. But you may have just stumbled upon this somehow. But make sure you join my Facebook page, like it there so that you'll get the notifications. And if you'd be so inclined, jump over to my YouTube channel and subscribe there too.
Nice.
I've not done a lot of work on the YouTube channel lately, but need to get focused back on that.
Ah,
yeah,
gotta be mindful of that, don't you?
I've gotta be mindful of that. Yes. I'll be mindful of doing that. And the most important thing, those of you listening to the actual podcast on audios, wherever you're listening, please join, like, subscribe,
collect,
juggle, whatever the thing is that you have to do to get connected to the RSS feed so it automatically gets sent to you every time we drop a new episode.
Right, and you don't have to pay for it.
Right, it's totally free.
Yeah.
I mean, and honestly, I don't know how many podcast subscribers there are now, or platforms. Yeah. There's millions.
So many of them, yeah.
I mean, the big ones, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher.
Pandora.
Yes. I mean, so wherever you get your podcasts, you can sign up for my show to get connected so you get up to date with new episodes.
Fair.
So, yeah, please do that. And another thing is, as soon as you do whatever you need to do, whether it be connecting, joining, juggling, whatever it is, make sure that you leave a review, because that also is very helpful, because then other people will find the show. That would be greatly appreciated.
Mm.
Awesome. It's time, Matt.
Is it?
That's how winning is done.
All right. What's going on with the winner of the week
week? All right. So, anyone who's listened to the show for any length of time knows I love animals. I just, especially dog fan.
Yeah. You have a puppy.
I have a puppy. I love him. I've grown up with dogs. So this one is kind of sad, but no, it's a great story. But so a dog got trapped in a storm drain.
Oh, moly.
Oh, no. But here's the catch here. The dog was deaf.
What?
Deaf.
Huh? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
What in blazes are you talking about?
Maybe we'll have to yell louder.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
The dog was deaf.
So dog is deaf.
How did they know the dog was deaf?
Well, the owners knew.
Oh, dog. Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Yes. Because it's your dog.
What?
I don't know if you've ever heard that joke. I cannot tell it here.
Don't tell it
here. But the punchline is, it's your dog. Yeah, that's it. That's as far as I'll go with that. So anyway, Zoe is a 15-year-old lab.
Zoe?
And wandered away from her home. And the whole neighborhood, they said practically the whole community turned out to help find her.
Aww.
So the owner said, I put on Nextdoor app, we're missing our dog. And people were like, here's my number, call me and I will come help you find her. The dog's mom, Andrea Tankersley, told the news station. The difficult part is she's deaf. Dog dad, Brennan Tankersley, added. So we're calling out and calling out, of course, knowing it's not doing any good, but we can't help calling out.
Right.
So like, Zoe. She's deaf, sir.
I was just kind of
like, what?
I'm imagining the entire community coming out arm in arm, calling out Zoe. Kind of reminds me of a movie called The Truman Show.
Yes, it does. Yes. And you know, the dog can't hear you, so.
What the fuck are you doing?
So it's really a cool story. So searchers reported hearing dog sounds, but they couldn't figure out where it was coming from. So 2 days later, city water crews homed in on her echoing barks and trapped her in a muddy storm drain, or located her trapped in a muddy storm drain under a city street.
Was she holding a red balloon?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
And then they sent the neighborhood kid Georgie to go get him out after he lost his sailboat, his paper sailboat.
Was the puppy wearing galoshes too?
Yes, a yellow galoshes. So those of you following, A+ as far as credit goes.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope you're getting the references.
Yep.
Yes.
So, but they found
and then and the dog suddenly could speak and said, "We all float down here." Yeah, it's crazy. He was deaf, but
wow.
He could talk. Apparently,
that's brilliant, right there.
Yeah, that is. That's awesome.
I ain't listening to you no more.
No, really, it's a good story.
All right, go on.
So the water department set up a camera to monitor the dog's condition, and they called it a Herculean rescue effort coordinated by the fire department, police, paramedics, and city workers. Was mounted to free the trapped canine. So listen to this. They had to use jackhammers, pneumatic saws, heavy equipment, and they worked in extreme heat to break up the pavement to dig down to the concrete drain pipe below. So throughout the excavation, neighbors supplied workers with food and beverages to keep them going.
Wow.
This is like a, it's like a, it's like a citywide manhunt, but for a dog, like with all these volunteers. So it took them 10 hours. 10 hours later, a section of the top of the culvert was lifted away to reveal the watery channel. Once they had access, rescuers still had to come up with a way to get Zoe safely out of the confined tunnel space.
Right.
One firefighter posed the idea of rolling her out on a skateboard.
Sorry.
So they put out a call for a guy named Hawk, you know, last name Hawk, and see if they could borrow his skateboard. We're, as you can tell, we're embellishing
a little bit,
story a little bit.
You have a brain like a chicken.
No, it's good. So yeah, he had an idea to roll her out on a skateboard, and then a kindergartner named Hunter volunteered his board, his skateboard, for the cause. So after 11 hours and counting, rescuers finally pulled Zoe from the concrete pipe to cheers and applause from an elated crowd of onlookers. The pooped pooch was passed bucket brigade style up to the street where waiting emergency workers assessed her and then reunited her with the Tankersleys and their kids.
Wow.
Amazing, although she was scuffed up and understandably distressed, Zoe suffered no major ill effects from her ordeal, and after getting an all clear from the vet, is happy to be back home.
All right. Zoe
still can't hear. Yeah. There.
So the dog was stuck down there for how long total then?
Does it was say? A total of...
I'm just curious to know.
Yeah, like the whole time frame.
Yeah. Because they set up a camera so they can keep an eye on her and what have you. So I was just curious to know that.
That's a great question, Matt.
If it doesn't say, it doesn't
it
say.
Doesn't,
no worries.
It doesn't. I mean, I'm assuming it's not like an 11-hour saga.
Yeah.
So 11 hours.
Hey, yeah. I got a skateboard.
Yeah. Do you have a skateboard for real?
Longboard.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Do you use it?
No.
Okay.
I have it. I don't use it because I know I'll kill myself.
I had a skateboard as a kid. I thought it was cool for a little bit. After I fell down a couple times, I'm like, this is stupid.
Hey, I was a BMXer, a skateboarder, and all that jazz. Thankfully,
you're used to the injuries.
Yes, thankfully I never broke anything though.
Oh, that's amazing that you haven't broken anything.
Thankfully, yet.
I'll do a little flashback to childhood. Of course, every kid that grew up in the 70s did this. Mm-hmm. They wanted to jump ramps like Evel Knievel.
Right.
Because he was, you know.
It was Evel Knievel.
Yeah. He was the king of the 70s.
Right.
And so we would do this quite often. And one time this, and we'd take turns, of course. So I was going to go, and this other kid cut me off, my friend that lived two doors down. His name's Scott. If he's listening, he'll remember the story. Mm. He went barreling down there, and the ramp shifted just as he hit it, and he had a major wipeout.
Oh, no. 360 like, over and over again.
I was like 10 houses down the street because I was getting ready to make my run. And I'm like, I think I'm done for the day.
He went head over tea kettle.
He had to help him home. And, you know, yeah, it was pretty bad.
His arm's falling off,
but
Mom.
Speaking of my bike, I had an incident doing something stupid, and not even a skateboard or roller skates or anything like that, just on my bike, and I broke my index finger and tore the nail off of it.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So that was, other than a torn ACL, that's the only broken bone I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
Was this finger. But you
see?
I can
see the difference. Yeah, I might do the same thing. Never broken anything. It's just natural.
Look at that one. It's just like, it's crazy. Yeah, see, I'll show you guys on camera.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, you're so strange.
Yeah, that one's broken.
Yeah.
Tony says goodbye. Again, those of you who can't see that, don't worry about it.
Oh, you don't want to
know. So anyway, Zoe was rescued in a sewer.
Yay, Zoe! Wow, that's called digression if I had.
It is, but it's fun.
Oh, good for you.
It's a good digression. We just talk about stuff that, yeah.
We need to be mindful.
A lot of people will get this, though. So, yeah, we need to be mindful, and we're going to get to that. But Zoe and the whole crowd and the family and everybody, yeah, you're all winners in the week.
How winning is done.
Yes, it is.
So
back to it.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go,
just
Matt.
Setting that up for you. So we're going to be talking mindfulness. And I asked you the question earlier, mindfulness. Yes. Is that just paying attention to one's surroundings? But you went on and you elaborated quite a bit more. And I'm really interested to learn and hear what you have to say.
So I'm going to read a definition and then we're going to get into it as far as kind of, because in principle, it's fairly easy to understand it. But even though there's a lot involved with it. So mindfulness is a state of active, open attention to the present. This state is described as observing one's thoughts and feelings without judging them as good or bad.
Hmm. Well, there's never any judgment, you know, here across the table.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, well, not yet.
My shirt's still on, so yeah.
Oh, like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
I ain't naked yet.
Nope, not yet. So think about the statement, though. Observing your own thoughts and feelings without judging them as good or bad. Because here's what typically happens in people's minds. Mm-hmm. And I talk to people every day. That's what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. They're constantly judging how they look, how they feel, how they present themselves, how other people might think of them. A lot of things like that, they're constantly trying to evaluate
themselves,
whether it's good or bad. Yes.
Themselves.
Yes. Not themselves and what other people think of. Like somebody might say, oh, does this look good? People are going to think I look bad, or people are going to think I'm fat, or people are going to think I'm, you know.
Right.
So there's this constant self-analyzing, this constant self-judging, if mm-hmm. if I can use that word. So really, it's just a matter of just being open and attention to the present. And I know that sounds very simplistic, and it is, but you'd be surprised how difficult this is for a lot of people. Mm. Just like right now, being mindful, I know I'm talking into this microphone. I know I'm here and doing a podcast, and I'm not thinking about, and again, I could be doing this, but at the same time, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I have to do this tomorrow. I have this, right. You know, I have to go out and do this tomorrow, or, oh, man, I had that, you know, a fight with my wife last week. Right. I mean, we didn't, but if that were to happen, those in your past and your present are constantly influencing your thoughts and how you're thinking.
You know, for folks, you know, you're sitting in a meeting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the meeting is droning on, it's getting boring or what have you, and your mind starts to wander.
Yep.
That's not being mindful
no.
of where you are, what is supposed to be happening, and the engagement level that you're supposed to be having as a team member, employee, associate, whatever you want to call it, right?
And I've used this description or this the way to kind of when I talk about hypnosis, we say that that's a hyper-focused state of awareness. Mindfulness is the same thing. It's just being aware of what's happening right in this moment, and everything else is blocked out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're not thinking of anything else except what's happening right now. And I can make the another thing where that happens a lot to people. If you're watching a really good movie
mm-hmm.
and you're just locked into it,
mm-hmm.
there's not a thought except what is happening on that screen.
Correct.
You're totally mindful of that moment because you're, you know. Now, you could be bothered by things, you know, some idiot in the theater next to you is, you know, chewing with their mouth open or something.
Right. Or on their cell phone.
Yeah, or on their phone, yeah.
You know, actually,
or talking during the movie.
I experienced that today because a certain trailer dropped today.
Yes, which was a
Matrix.
The Matrix 4.
Resurrection.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that earlier.
And I pulled up that trailer, and I was dead focused for a minute and a half going, oh, my God, I think I just shit myself because it looks so damn good. I'm so excited for that movie.
You have to change your clothes.
Hey, nice clothes, gentlemen. I didn't know the Salvation Army was having a sale.
No, I did see the trailer. So, again, side note. We do a lot of side notes here, but I think they're fun. Yes, I'm interested to see what direction that's going.
Mm-hmm.
If it's kind of like a restart of the whole thing or a...
It seems
like that's what it is.
Right, because they're doing kind of the same things
right.
that they did with the red pill, the blue pill.
Yes, yes. And Trinity and Neo not knowing each other in the trailer. And I'm just in the trailer.
Yeah.
So
but
there's
they
no spoilers.
But they're meeting each other in the Matrix instead of...
Yes, instead of real life.
And
yes.
She already knows who she is and what's going on, but this time she doesn't.
Right.
So I'm just...
Yes,
yeah.
I know.
It's intriguing.
Yes, it is. And I was a big fan of those movies when they came out.
So speaking of mindfulness, being in the moment.
You're being in the
Matrix.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yes, you're in the moment. So it's in the way that you can practice mindfulness, and and we're going to hit on very specific things, but it's like just be aware and observe your thoughts, your feelings, the sensations that you're feeling. And this is the hard thing, in an objective manner. It's very difficult to be objective about ourselves because we're with ourselves every second of every day of every year of our life.
You don't have baggage, do you, Dan?
Personal baggage? Yeah. Well, everybody has that. But so it's really a tool to kind of avoid self-criticism and judgment and a way to recognize and identify difficult emotions. Mm. Because if you're grieving for somebody who's passed away,
okay,
that's a difficult thing. And we talked about crisis last episode, mm-hmm, and how to manage and how to work through crisis. But it's just being mindful of right now, even though that thing is affecting you, right now you're just where you're at. And you can identify that I'm feeling very sad, and that's a natural thing. And you can kind of accept it because it's something that you should be feeling. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Because a lot of times people will, again, they'll judge themselves and say, oh, I should be stronger, or I should be able to handle this, things like that, those self-judgment type statements. Mm-hmm. So now this is interesting because I'm sure people will say, well, what's the difference between mindfulness and meditation? And the thing is, mindfulness is rooted in a form of meditation. I mean, it's rooted in Buddhist and Hindu teachings. Like Buddhism has a journey towards enlightenment. So it's, and there's a concept called sati, S-A-T-I, which encompasses attention, awareness, and being present. And that's considered the first step towards enlightenment in Buddhism.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
And then that term roughly translated from the ancient language of Pali comes to the term mindfulness.
Huh.
Again, when they say roughly translated, roughly it's probably translated, yeah, fit in, but that's probably the best word to describe what they were saying.
I did not know that.
So yeah, and honestly, that there's an emergence of mindfulness in Western culture, and also, you know, here's the thing: it comes from the theories of Buddhism and Hinduism, and many people who studied. There was a guy named John Kabat-Zinn.
Okay.
And Kabat-Zinn studied mindfulness under several Buddhist teachers such as Philip Kaplow and Thich Nhat Hanh.
Kaplow?
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Thich Nhat Hanh and Mr. Kaplow?
No! No! Don't shut me up!
Watch your mouth. So, so as a professor at the University of Massachusetts Medical School in the late 70s, Kabat-Zinn developed a program called mindfulness-based stress reduction to treat chronic pain.
Repeat that. Mindfulness?
Mindfulness-based stress reduction.
Okay.
So that technically it's MBSR is what it's. So really he was saying he's using mindfulness to reduce stress.
Gotcha.
That's the approach of this. But he was doing it to treat people with chronic pain conditions.
Okay. Would anxiety be in that, kind of fall into that category as well as far as stress goes?
It would, yes. And it would come up to that.
Okay.
And that's how mindfulness is developed, is that most of the time when, and we'll go right into the anxiety part, because that really comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
No, I take that back, Matt. We're going to come back to that.
Okay, fair enough. I was just curious.
It's a good question, and because that's what I use a lot with my clients who have anxiety and I'm gonna give you the connection where hypnosis and mindfulness kind of come together.
Please.
So he said when he was treating people for chronic pain, he said that patients would often try to avoid pain, but that avoidance would lead to deeper distress.
Hmm.
Practicing mindfulness was a more successful approach because you could recognize the pain, and because it's weird. It sounds like it's counterintuitive in a way, but trying to avoid the pain, you're trying not to think about it. It's,
right.
It's like, yeah, I mean, you guys have probably all had a toothache before.
Yeah.
Or some other headache or something that was like, and you can't focus on anything else. It's just lingering in the background. Just, but you're trying to avoid it. You're trying to focus on other things. And it becomes very difficult because now you're like, well, I can't work. I can't watch TV. I can't do the things I have to do for the day. Instead of just being mindful and focusing on it, that is going to give you some relief, believe it or not. Hmm. I know that sounds very, very wild and crazy.
No, not necessarily, but.
So mindfulness shifted into mainstream science and medicine, back in the 70s. And it was integrated into mindful-based cognitive therapy, dialectical behavior therapy, and acceptance and commitment therapy. So all of these therapeutic approaches have adopted mindfulness in some form or another because it's something that works. So here's the thing. There are two things that encompass mindfulness.
Please.
Two major things. Awareness and acceptance. Those are the two main pillars of mindfulness.
Awareness and acceptance.
And acceptance, yeah.
Okay. So you are aware of what is you are aware of the present moment, right?
So awareness is the knowledge and ability to focus attention on one's inner processes and experiences, such as the experience of the present moment. Acceptance is the ability to observe and accept rather than judge or avoid those streams of thought.
Huh.
So it's almost like being, it really is, if you look at it as a kind of a overall arching idea, it's like just being accepting of yourself and not second guessing what you're feeling or thinking and trying to always be changing something.
Right. So
really the goal of mindfulness is to cultivate a perspective on your consciousness and your identity, which of course brings you greater peace mentally and relationally.
Hmm.
And of course, we mentioned it being used in therapy, and here's where we get to the anxiety part.
Please.
Mindfulness is also used in mindfulness-based therapies to address stress, anxiety, or pain, or simply just to become more relaxed. So now the way this fits in is that hypnosis is a form of mindfulness. It's just guided.
Okay.
Rather than you doing it on your own, now you have a hypnotherapist or hypnotist
like yourself
that's going to guide you through those. Right. Yes, yes. And that's what I do with people. I guide them through those steps to get to that state of just being mindful, just being in the present moment, focused on this one moment and what I'm saying at this time.
Right.
You're not thinking of the past, the present. You're not worrying about money issues or any other things that could be cluttering your mind.
But you know, if they wanted to learn how to quit or to quit smoking, and you're walking down that path, so nothing else is bothering them except for the smoking.
Yep.
And then you focus on that.
And even that, and with hypnosis, they're actually, and this is, I've done this before and with many clients. It's even to the point where smoking is just something you're thinking about. Because if you weren't thinking about it, you wouldn't do it.
Right. You're not wrong.
Yes. And so the addiction is mental. And I've said this many times about habits. The addiction is mental. Even though there can be a physiological addiction to nicotine, I've probably said this on the show many times. I've had clients who've quit smoking and they've not smoked for a year and they go back to it. The physical withdrawal symptoms of nicotine are at the most 7 to 10 days.
Yeah. After
that, there should be no physical urge whatsoever to smoke.
Right. But it's all in your brain.
It's in your mind. Yep. It's how you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that, you know, a lot of folks smoke a lot when they're driving.
Yes.
That's like the biggest part.
And that's what we call a trigger.
Okay.
Like driving after a meal, drinking alcohol, having coffee.
Right.
Talking on the phone, that used to be older kind of thing because
I
distinctly remember my mom was a smoker, and whenever she was talking to somebody on the phone, she'd be sitting down with, you know, with the 100-foot loop, the 100-foot tangled
cord
that would go into like five rooms in the house, you know, and sitting at the table and smoking while she talked to somebody on the phone.
It's just that urge to, you know, you're sitting in traffic, you're bored. What else are you going to do?
Yep. And plus it's connected because it's become that situation. You've linked it to cigarettes because that's when it started. You've started doing it at some point. So now every time you drive, that it's just connected. The habit is connected to what you're doing at the moment.
Ah, man. Okay, go on.
So cool. So as we said, origins in Buddhist and Hindu teachings. So there's a term called flow. And that is a lot of people sometimes use the term interchangeably, mindfulness or flow. So flow is a state in which one is completely absorbed in an activity and loses self-awareness. So we mentioned a few moments ago getting locked into a movie. Mm-hmm. You're so locked into something, you're not aware of yourself at that point.
Right.
You're in there. I'm not saying you're actually in it, but you're in the moment of that movie. Mm-hmm. And there is no, at that moment, there's no self-awareness.
You're invested 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So flow and mindfulness, while very similar, they both involve deep concentration, but flow involves a goal-directed behavior. So we're going to use an example I know I've used before, and that's athletes. Mm. Athletes who are in the zone.
Yes.
We can say that's a flow.
Okay.
They are using mindfulness, but it's not a mindfulness to go inward. It's a mindfulness to get something outward, and that's what's called flow. And they're locked into that activity so automatically they don't have to think about it.
Right.
Wow. Like when Jordan goes out, used to. LeBron.
Yeah.
We'll use him as an example because it's current. He just goes off for 40 points. And a lot of athletes will say, I wasn't even thinking. It just was happening. Mm-hmm. It was automatic because you were just so in tune with what your body was doing and not thinking about it. That is just, it just happened naturally.
Hmm. Love that.
Yeah. So, folks, we're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you next episode how you can practice mindfulness. And, again, specifically what the long-term benefits are in addition to anxiety and chronic pain, which we mentioned both of those issues. Join me next episode when we're going to talk about mindfulness, part two, the practice, and how you can do it and what it can help you with. And I think that's going to be very, very important and very useful for you.
And for those that are on Facebook Live, don't go anywhere. We're
Facebook Live, people stay
right into the next episode.
People on audio listening to the podcast, jump ahead to the next episode or wait till the next Tuesday or Thursday.
Got it.
There you go. All right, folks. Change your thinking, change your life. Laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.